Well, it seems that the U.S. doesn't agree with you on that. You were harshly criticized by the Americans for sending a delegation of over 100 business people to Iran.
Les États-Unis, ils défendent leurs intérêts.
The United States obviously defends its own interests. They see very well that there are chances for them to be present in the Iranian market, and they want to be able to be dominant in this market. Therefore, they're trying to stop others from interacting with Iran and asking them to wait. But in the meantime, don't you drink Coca-Cola in Iran? This means that the unique formula that has been kept secret by an American company and the raw material needed to produce it come to Iran. I would assume that the company pays a percentage of its profits to the Coca-Cola company for the amazing drink that they produce, without which we cannot live. Therefore, it leads me to say that the reaction of the United States, for example, regarding the visit paid by the French delegation, only shows that it was useful. It created opportunities and it was successful. That is why it provoked the U.S.
Puisqu'elle a entraîné une telle réaction.
What would you say about the sanctions then? Iranians haven't been able to even import medicine they need for sick patients. Even now, after the talks and the agreements made, it's still impossible to import them.
Il y a un grand nombre de produits qui sont hors sanctions.
There are many products that we are not sanctioned, or that sanctions on them were lifted after the agreements reached during the talks. But the main obstacle is the financial transactions necessary for the business. For example, for Iran to be able to import the drugs and medicine that it needs, there needs to be a way for it to pay for them, and that requires the resumption of international banking relations. In theory, when we say that certain sanctions have been lifted or that certain products, like drugs, for example, are not sanctioned, it seemed to be okay, but in reality, what happens is that the international bank that is in charge of doing such large monetary transactions most probably has dealings with financial institutions in the United States. It may have its interests at stake. They need to make sure that they will not run into any problems, and even when it may not be legally necessary, this is what blocks the imports of medicine, for example. It's not the sanctions per se, but the practice of sanctions is stopping such imports. The reality is, the only way to get out of this situation, which is absurd, I might add, is to completely lift the sanctions and put an end to this. That is why it's important that the Geneva process reaches a final solution, so that we can restart doing business with Iran. This, I have to repeat, can only be obtained if the Geneva process ends successfully.
Okay, now we don't have much time, and I would like to talk about other issues as well. So let's turn to your own country, France, which is considered a symbol of democracy. You yourself have visited the Iranian parliament, and you've seen that we have members representing the Jews and the Christians, although they are very small communities in Iran. It's not the same in France, though. There is no one in your parliament representing Muslims, for example.
Alors, vous savez que notre organisation.
You know, the nature of a republic is different. It is not defined and organized the way yours is. France does not recognize communities. In France, you either are a citizen or not. French citizens are considered equal, whether their skin is dark or whether they are originally from Morocco or Algeria or any other country. From the moment they acquire a French nationality, they become citizens and have the right to vote. Now, in practical term, we just held municipal elections in which the party that I represent won the most votes. Our society and the people living in our cities have become multicultural, and we try to make sure that everyone is able to find the person on the list they want to represent them to run a city. None of the citizens enjoy a quota of the seat reserved to Jews, Orthodox Christian, or Muslims. It is different from Lebanon. Our system is a republic that simply relies on the notion of citizenship. But at the same time, French citizens are becoming more and more diverse. And I have to tell you that in order to win the elections, the votes of French Muslims count. Let me illustrate. For example, the socialist government had made a promise to vote on whether or not to allow same-sex marriage. And they stated, getting information from education centers about gender theory. You know that gender theory is an American theory that substitutes the difference between men and women with their sexual behavior, and that makes a person hetero or homosexual. I have to tell you that just like Catholics, French Muslims also held demonstrations, and hundreds of thousands took to the streets. Also, in the municipal elections, their vote clearly tipped the scales. So, in France, as a citizen, you are free to vote for whatever you wish.
Donc, en France, quand on a le droit de vote, on est libre d'en faire ce que l'on veut.
Très bien. Une autre question que j'ai, c'est à propos.
And now let's turn to the relations of France with other countries, and I would particularly like to focus on the presence of French troops in Africa. How do you think such presence can help devastated countries there, like the Central African Republic or even Mali?
Améliorer la situation.
La France au Mali est intervenue seul dans un premier temps.
Well, France intervened in Mali only when there was a possibility that terrorists take control of the country and armed groups could have reached the capital, Bamako, and taken control in a matter of days. It was a sovereign country that could have turned into what extremist Sunnis call an Islamic Emirate. France intervened because of its ties with Mali, which is a Francophone country in which we have been present for over 100 years. President Hollande made the decision to send troops, and I personally approve of his decision, and this prevented the terrorists from taking over the country. Had we waited for the European Union with 28 states, nothing would have been done about this. The EU would have probably passed a couple of and imposed sanctions, but no real steps would have been taken. As far as the UN was concerned, at that point in time, it was impossible to mobilize them in a matter of days. This is basically what France did, because the Sahel and the Francophone countries in Africa are parts of a world we feel responsible for. We have transferred our language and our culture. We're like to them. Our current ambassador to Tehran, Mr. Fouché, can tell you more about that in detail, since he was our ambassador to Chad for 5 years. Now, about the Central African Republic, it was a very different situation. We had to intervene to avoid the dissolution of the state. There was nothing left but armed groups. Cities were at war with with one another, even neighborhoods at times, Christians attacking Muslims and vice versa. And I believe that it was a courageous move on the part of France to step in. And it's not over yet. And the situation is very complicated. The fact remains that such interventions cost a lot for France, but it's the role that France has to play as far as international relations are concerned.
Exactly. And I've read many articles that describe this role as neocolonialism. What do you have to say about that?
I believe that if Al-Qaeda had taken control of Mali, it would have been dangerous for all of us. It was actually the Malian authorities themselves who called for a French intervention. We have very strong ties with countries like Mali, and in my own neighborhood back in France, there are many Malians who have blended in the French society, and after our intervention in Mali, something extraordinary happened that I would like to tell you about. It was the month of February, and it was snowing. I saw hundreds of Malians taking to the streets, I repeat, under the snow. They were holding both the French and the Malian flags, and together they sang the French national anthem to thank France that it has nothing to do with new colonialism.
Pour remercier la France. Alors, ils ne se sont pas plaints du néocolonialisme, visiblement.
Et la dernière question que...
And my final question, since there's not much time left, is about censorship in France. Are there any topics that people are not allowed to talk or write about? What are the red lines?
La censure. Comment ça se passe?
En France...
In France, I would say it is the journalists that are truly powerful. Journalists can write about anything they wish to the print, where many believe that this much freedom is too much. It's a world that belongs to mass media. Their power is not something that has been defined in the Constitution.
Are you saying that there is absolutely nothing that limits the journalists? No topic that they would prefer not to talk about to avoid getting into trouble? The Second World War, for example, the Jews?
Non, bien au contraire.
Not at all. On the contrary, there are many researches, books, and articles that have been published. What matters is to respect the historical facts. For example, there was a well-known French scholar in Lyon called Robert Forreson. He believed that the gas chambers did not exist. He wrote books about it and talked about his political theories. He denied the evidence that existed, and eventually he was condemned in court because there are laws that do not allow denying historical facts such as the deportation, like death camps, like the genocide of Armenians, and this is simply respecting the truth. And every nation respects its history.
De la réalité, chacun doit avoir le respect de sa propre histoire.
And I'm afraid that's all the time that we have for this edition of Face to Face. Thank you very much for watching, and goodbye.